Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, it's me, Michael Legg. Welcome to Legg Hall. Sorry about the theme tune. There's nothing I can do about the theme tune. I hate the theme tune. It's not the theme tune. It's just a piece of music we've got there until we get the proper theme tune. Admittedly, it's a very long piece of music. I could edit it, but you and I both know that I want to, but I can't be arsed. So there's nothing we can do about that. Hey, but listen. Welcome to another episode of Legg Hall. I can't believe my luck. You know, when this hole opened up, I had no idea who was going to fall into it, but I cannot believe that today my victim is the brilliant comedian and someone I genuinely admire and look up to, the fantastic Dane Baptiste. Dane, hey. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much, and thank you for such a wonderful introduction. Humbled and flattered to be on the podcast as a guest.
Well, now you will be taking those words back, won't you, by the end of this? But we have them as a matter of historical record for now. And that's the good thing. Mate, it's really nice to hear from you. I feel like I haven't seen you in a little while. I'm a big fan of your stand-up. I always leave seeing you annoyed with myself. That's not much of a compliment to you, I suppose. But I always feel like... I always feel happy that I'm quite a lazy person until I see your stand-up and I go, oh, it does seem to be worthwhile to make the effort. You're a brilliantly funny guy. Really, I like your political stuff, but I also like your quite silly stuff. So anyway, that's enough of the fawning. Please take it all. I've got 10 questions for you today, Dane Baptiste. Mm-hmm. At the end of these 10 questions, we're going to find out really who Dane Baptiste is, because we're going to have a complete psychological profile of you. Have you, do you feel like you know who you are?
I'd like to think so. I feel like I'm honest with myself about who I am at the end of it. There's been times where, you know,
What is that like?
It's okay. Highs and lows, peaks and troughs. Sure. I feel like I've, I mean, I've probably set up complexes and put up maybe some barriers sometimes and certain defensive barriers. But I think at the core, with enough introspection, mm-hmm. I normally get to the root of what might be causing any kind of issues and stuff. So I think I'm most honest with myself, if nothing else.
Well, I think so. If you, this isn't one of the questions. So if you bumped into yourself in real life, do you think you'd get on?
Yeah, because I try to use empathy to preface most of my interactions with meeting new people. So I'm always somebody where I'm like, this person is somebody of few words, and so I won't necessarily pain them to be more loquacious. Or sometimes I'm like, yeah, I feel like this person really just needs to vent, and so maybe I can just be the vessel that allows for that catharsis to happen. So yeah, I feel like we'd get on, because like if I caught myself on a day where I didn't feel like having a conversation, I'd like to think that I was empathetic enough to pick up on it and just, you know, just be there without rather than saying something.
That is very true. You know, in that way, if I bumped into me, that way we would get on, because there is many times when I don't really feel like having a conversation. And I know that. So that is good to know. But I'll be honest with you, your answer is far more mature than how I feel about myself. I think if I met me, I'd fight me. but the good thing about that is I know I'd win, because I know I'm shit at fighting.
There you go, exactly.
But then again, the other me would know that too. Yeah.
There you go. But do you think would start it? You or you?
Definitely me.
Yeah.
Without a question of a doubt. I'd just take one look at me and go, no, I'm hitting him.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on with these 10 questions, Dane. We're going to find out who you really are. I'm going to write ill.
Mild asthmatic. Yeah, put that.
Ill. Okay, that's in already. Question number one, Dane Baptiste. Question number one. Do you like me?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to go any further than that? Yes, it's fine.
Yeah, I like you. I think you're a nice person. I think I don't have particularly complex criteria when it comes to liking somebody. I always think it's a question of empathy. And in all my encounters with you, you are both professional and courteous. I like your work as a comic, which is also can definitely help improve your image as well. Although it doesn't necessarily mean that those things aren't always synonymous to like someone and their art. But so that's two for two. And really and truly, I guess I require that little for most people, is just for someone to just display a courteousness and or consciousness and respect for sentient beings and be pleasant in interactions. I don't really ask for more than that than people. And, you know, as far as I'm aware, close as I've been to you, you have good hygiene. And that's all I really need from people.
Oh, my God. I mean, thank you for that. I say my hygiene's 80%. I'd say my manners are 100%, though.
And that counts as well, because you can be like, right, ever so sorry, I've just come from a jog, and so I might be perspiring somewhat. Yeah. Which, again, I think, you know, really does compensate for that 20% deficit in hygiene. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask a sub-question then within this. If I was to turn up to meet you and it was a bit smelly, and I said to you, this could completely ruin our relationship, and I said to you, oh, sorry about that, I've been jogging, would you believe me?
I would, because I think the fact that you are aware of your body odour, there's no reason. And I guess, I don't really think it's naivety, but a lot of time when people tell me stuff, because there's no advantage gained from lying, I tend to believe them or give them the benefit of the doubt. Which, you know, has kind of worked out badly, not really catastrophically, but badly sometimes. But it's like, if someone says to me, hey, like, you know, I got a twin brother or I got a girlfriend and she lives in this country, because, you know, my perception of somebody isn't going to change based on if these things weren't true, I tend to be like, okay, cool, fair enough. But I found out later that someone's been like, there was never a girlfriend. And I've been like, why did they lie? It's not like I was going to use that fact to determine how I viewed this person. Mm.
Again, a really mature and reasoned response. But I'll be honest with you, Dane. The very fact that you would believe me when I said I was jogging, I have written down appallingly naive. I might even write fucking stupid. There you go.
That's fair. I'll take that. But I would rather have that than be the guy that's like, can't tell him anything without him downplaying it. Don't like to trample on people's spirits, mate.
You know how I feel about people who tell you a lie? You, the person who believed them, you haven't done anything wrong. And yeah, isn't that a better feeling?
Absolutely.
That's a better feeling. Well, so what if they bullshit? I didn't do anything. It's fine.
It's about, and also, I think I look in the industry where you work in, I think it's a person who's obviously very inefficient in terms of the use of creative energy. Because all that stuff, all the energy you used coming up with that lie, could have probably written some good material with that. So I don't really feel pity for somebody like that rather than,
Again, the maturity of you. I'm writing too mature. Too fucking mature. Gee whiz. Right. Question number two, Dame Baptiste. I should say the first question I asked you is a question I ask all of the guests. Also, the last question is the question I ask all of the guests. But we're now into the golden eight, Dane. These eight questions were written all especially for you.
Nice.
Dane Baptiste, question number two. What is the highest score you've got in any sport? And don't bother telling me the sport because I've got no interest in sport.
That's fair enough. I feel like the one that stands out the most would have been, I think the score was... Is it a team effort though? I was playing and
It really doesn't matter if you needed help. If you couldn't do it on your own, we don't judge you here.
That's the thing with sports sometimes. So
That is literally the whole point of this podcast. We do judge you here.
Yeah,
but
to get fully
just
judged.
This once, we're not going to.
But if I'm going to be judged, irrespective of what I say, I want to give the full picture so the judgment is also as accurate. So the highest score I can recall. I do have a better example. I think I won a game of FIFA. And I think I won it about like 10-2. And it's particularly significant because we were doing random select just to make it more exciting. And I ended up picking a team from the Belgian second division. And my friend was, I think he was like Bayern Munich, which is a comparatively better team in stats and performance and players.
Okay. And
I worked out a hack for the game where you can lob the goalkeeper from the halfway line. So every time I got a player that was free and unmarked and wasn't being tackled, it started off as a Hail Mary because I was like, well, I might as well shoot from the halfway line because I can't beat any of his players for pace or power or accuracy or dribbling. So, and then, was able to...
So you cheated?
Well, I mean...
That sounds like a cheat.
I found a cheat code. I wouldn't say it's cheating because it wasn't like it's a deliberate advantage because the game kind of... You load your shots are kind of based on how much power you give them and accuracy in it. So I found kind of like, I guess I found an algorithm rather than a cheat.
Right. I'm going to put down here. I'm going to put this to you. Now, 10 is a very high score in football. Keep in mind, I wanted to know the highest score you got in a sport. But say, for instance, you were playing snooker. I mean, that is not a great score, is it?
That'd be terrible. I mean, to be honest,
really
with you,
terrible.
I don't know. I know so little about snooker. I just have to take your word for it. So I
right.
Oh low.
No, 10's low. 10's. I mean, a 10's about as good as I can get, but it is low. But with that in mind, then, and including the cheating, I have to put down low scoring cheat.
Yeah.
And also, I did ask you. I didn't ask you to tell me the sport. I just said in any sport. And you chose FIFA, which is not a sport, is it?
It's become a sport. Like e-games and gaming is considered a sport. It's equally as lucrative nowadays. So
yeah, but it's little computer games for the kiddies, isn't it? Little computer games for the kiddies.
It used to be, but there's a lot of grown kiddies nowadays making a crazy penny.
I'll put childish down.
That's
I'll
fair. Childish is fair.
Okay. Dane Baptiste, question number three. This is very exciting. Question number three. Dane, if you could be in charge of GB News for one day, would you ring in sick?
No, I would go in there and I would see how many fires I can cause in that building in one day. I could call in sick, but what I could really do is go in there and let the fire begin.
You would phone in very healthy.
I would phone in very healthy. I would even have it disseminated as a part of the news cycle that Dane Baptiste is habeas corpus and of sound mind and body. So therefore, when I began to take that place down, brick by brick, they wouldn't be able to say, ignore him, he's just crazy. They'd be like, no, we have official confirmation that he was habeas corpus and a signed affidavit.
Sure.
That proves that he was of sound mind and body when he began to release all of the information he did on the channel that day.
I like the idea of you setting fire to it, but also taking it down brick by brick. I like the idea of you setting fire to every brick.
Yeah. And I'm thinking completely figurative, because what I would actually do is use that office space that mm-hmm. channel occupies, and I'd be like, this is now open to the homeless and vulnerable.
Oh, my. Do you know what? I'm going to put... That was beautiful. I'm going to put down very kind arsonist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice. Have you been asked to be on it yet? Because, you know, the comedians are on it. It's a big gig now.
I mean, I've been asked. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure.
Sure.
I have to look into it and see how it will work out. But
I haven't been asked. I don't know if you are surprised to hear that. I haven't been asked yet.
I'm not necessarily surprised. But then, you know, that was before we were able to put this plan together.
Yep. We'll say no more. We'll say no more. Dane Baptiste. Now, here's a big question. You're a music fan, right?
Yes.
I mean, who doesn't like music, right? So, if all genres of music were members of a family, which genre would be which family member? And it's not, it sounds like a complex question. It's not. I mean, like a fairly regular family, like, you know, mum, dad, mum's lover, brother, sister, sister's boyfriend, the dog, the dog's boyfriend, the car, and the Ocado delivery man. So it's a very simple family. Which, put it this way, which genre of music do you think would make a good dad?
It's a really good question. I think...
good question.
A good genre of music. Oh, for dad. I think dad would be... that could be metal, maybe.
Metal, wow! Yeah. I didn't expect that coming, but that's brilliant. I'm not a big heavy metal fan, but I'm a medium heavy metal fan.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the thing is, it's like the tonality of it can be really severe and it can sound so threatening, but then if you listen, there's passion behind all of that.
And actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
I think it's like trying to show behind this veneer of authoritativeness and aggression, there's just a regular guy behind all of that.
Who just starts
hanging out with his friends.
And he's just a bit silly and, you know,
Exactly that. Like when I saw the patrons of a metal concert and when they all came out, I saw them at the O2, when they all came out, I was kind of like, have I literally walked into a Nordic-based white supremacist rally? But I was like, oh my God. Like, but actually, it was a bunch of resourceful men who were having like a kind of a quasi-reunion with other like-minded individuals. And what they had done is they'd been jurisprudent enough to be like, we should probably park our cars and walk up to the O2 so that once the concert's finished, we don't have to worry about the parking and driving out and all the congestion. Right. And that's like a real dad thing to do, isn't it?
Total dad thing to do. I think you've nailed it. And, you know, I do have a soft spot for heavy metal. So although I totally understand your feeling, I do think it's the cuddly face of white supremacy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about mum?
I think mum would be gospel. There's a benevolence to it. There's a real sterilized kind of aesthetic to it.
And it's really there's lessons to be learned.
Lessons to be learned, lessons. But it's really hard to live up to that same. It's hard to live up to it, though. That's the only thing, is that like you can enjoy it, but it's like, I can't do everything this says. It's just impossible. Yeah. I'm just a human being. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think, once again, nailed it. Brother?
I think brother would be hip-hop, because it's considerably younger than the other genres. Does have a lot of potential, as long as it can keep its focus away from more carnal occupations.
Sure. And a little bit cheeky.
A little bit cheeky, very tongue-in-cheek. But then, but it does have the capacity for maturity as well.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
Love duality.
As it gets older, you wouldn't be surprised if it gets really heavily into the jazz. Maybe. No. Then it thought was a bit funny duddy at one point. Exactly, what about sister?
Oh, sister. Sister is, for me, sister's like house and garage music. It's a lot more excitable. It's peppy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more pageantry to it, and there's similarities between that and hip hop, but there's also kind of like more of a melody and kind of a bit more something a bit more melodic and something a bit softer in between bouts of like more harder and more aggressive stuff. So it has the capacity to do it as well.
And out of all the musical genres, I'd say that's the one that wants to go out most.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's one of the fun. Yeah, one outdoor, and also what's interesting about Gary is occasionally you do get some slight hints of gospel in there as well.
Right.
Even though it denies it, you can definitely see the influence.
Oh, it's definitely there. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all, you know, it's all about somewhat going to church, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Do you know what? Once again, a very mature answer. So I'm going to put down. Nice. So I didn't expect that. I was this doesn't normally happen on Lego. We don't. It's not really there for compliments. It's there for character assassinations. You know, that sort of thing. But you've been very mature, which is really putting me on the fucking back foot. So I'm going to put annoying down as well.
I'll take that.
Yeah, annoying. Okay, question number something. Dane Baptiste. What things do you think you could do better than Harrison Ford?
That's a really good question.
Brilliant question, isn't it? Really, very proud of it.
That's a really good question. I think that... I think I could probably have maybe use more footwork in my fight choreography.
Right.
I think Harrison Ford is all upper body. You know,
he is, isn't he? Yeah. These days, he is.
I mean, I'm trying to think at one point. I'm sure I've seen a few stomps and kicks. Like, he's probably kicked a few people into, like, down trapdoors or down steps of a temple. He's done a few of those.
Yeah. But I think he's more into tricking them now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's more of an outsmarting kind of guy now. Or, like, he's like a guy that would shut someone's fingers in the door. I think he's more of a props guy now when it comes to, like, combat. But,
You're saying you could kick Harrison Ford?
I mean, theoretically, I could definitely kick Harrison Ford. Whether I could bring myself to do the actual act might be a bit more difficult, depending on what Harrison Ford I was meeting. Am I meeting Han Solo Harrison Ford? Probably it'd be harder to do so. But if it was like What Lies Beneath Harrison Ford, I could share that guy.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure. But then you have the rest of your life to go, fucking hell, I've kicked Harrison Ford. Imagine that.
Yeah, that's really tough to live with.
That's not a good prize.
No.
No one's won that.
No one's been known for that for being that guy.
Hates Harrison Ford. Just write that down. Mm. Yeah, it's quite irrational, but you know, but it fits in. We're much better back. We're much more on track now with the leg hole.
Yeah.
Good. I don't think there's much I could do better than Harrison Ford. I'm probably better at binging telly than he is. I bet he gets grumpy about watching anything more than 10 minutes.
He'd be like, I read for this and I didn't even want it. And then he says stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. He would definitely be that. But also he'd go, I'm going to go and build a shed. You know?
Oh, definitely. I think
wouldn't cross my mind.
Me either. And I think he'd have to deal with stuff like, I feel like every time Disney Channel puts out more Star Wars stuff, he's just like, because he knows someone's going to at him for no reason. He's like, I wasn't in this. I wasn't involved at all. I don't even appear in The Mandalorian. And people are like, yeah, but Harrison, why the... And he's just like, forget this.
And
I'm a reader.
And unfortunately, he can't even go, look, Han Solo's dead, because they stupidly brought Han Solo back as a sort of ghost thing.
Yeah, so he's not going anywhere.
And he must
be
like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's locked in. He can't go anywhere now.
It's Star Wars. It's the Star Wars Mafia. Every time you think you're out. Mm-hmm. Dane Baptiste, Let's see how well travelled you are. How many foreign countries have you been sick in?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Good.
Mate, I tried my best with all these questions.
I've only actually been sick in about 4 foreign countries.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Some people don't leave the country, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
And yet they call themselves fucking patriots, and this is the only country they've been sick in?
This is it, exactly. Whereas I have planted my flag of nausea in 4 countries, and those have been, if memory serves me correctly, it might have actually been in 3 different continents too.
Oh, I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
Great. So where's the furthest away? What's the longest journey you had to go to be sick?
It was a 24-hour trip to Australia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sick in Australia.
Yep. There you go.
Do you know what? I could do one better than that. I was sick in New Zealand.
There you go.
That's as far away as I've ever been sick. Yeah. I think it's as far away as you can be sick.
It's the land of the long puke stain, New Zealand.
Okay.
As it's called.
Okay, I'm going to put very ill because, I mean,
yeah.
So you were ill at the beginning, now very ill. Good answer, though, mate. Great answer. I like that's one of the great things about our job is that you get to travel, not just around the UK, but, you know, it's to gig so often abroad. And the other good thing about our job is generally you get a load of free booze. So, you know, the chances of you vomiting somewhere abroad is pretty high.
Yeah, and I feel like by vomiting there, I'm kind of giving back, you know, for all of the hospitality I'm shown. I'm like, let me ingratiate myself to this culture, leave some DNA around. Who knows when that will come back in handy in the circle of life.
Also, what you're saying to that country culturally, you're saying is, thank you for making me feel at home.
Precisely.
Because, you know, you wouldn't just walk into a complete stranger's house and vomit, but because you feel so comfortable there, I felt it could.
This is an act of diplomacy. I'm just like you, is what I'm telling people with that.
You can see now why all those years ago we had Boris Johnson as Foreign Secretary.
Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely.
Yeah, you know. If anything, that man is perfect for that job and we've been fools all this time.
If anything, I would go so far as to say he's probably encouraged or been vomit-inducing everywhere he's gone.
Oh, he'll never get lost because we'll find him. We'll just follow the line of puke.
That's right.
There he is.
See, and a lot of people trail of semen from all of these kids he's had.
That's literally what I was going to say. It's just follow the breadcrumbs of vomit and cum.
Yeah.
Now, that's a terrible sentence, but there we have it, Dame Baptiste. Dame Baptiste. Hey, here's another question. Dame, when you're on a date, who pays? You, the date, or society as a whole?
I would say I pay, and I try to make society also enjoy the meal as much as possible. I always ask for a doggy bag. Yeah. Because if I see somebody who might be hungry or maybe not try that particular cuisine, there's always the scope to offer it to them as well. And so I'd like to think that I'm not contributing to the waste to needless food waste. So, yeah.
Also, your date's going to be impressed by that.
Yeah. Although I have to say that incentive actually came from a date that, you know, you should take food and rather than have it be thrown away, if you can give it to someone less fortunate. That was an idea I got from somebody else as a real demonstration of generosity.
Jesus.
So, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Well, actually, so the date who told me that, she is actually Jewish, so she is of the lineage. So
yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. That's a hell of a thing, because I think most people wouldn't think about that on a date, because I think you're nervous enough on a date. So the very fact that you're thinking of... you're clearly not thinking of yourself, are you? You're thinking globally of other people, which makes you appallingly do-goody, isn't it? So I'll just put fucking do-gooder. Fucking do-gooder. But great date advice, and also great advice if you're a human being with any sort of pulse.
Yeah,
I think so. Thanks for that.
And based on my dating record, I could end up being less fortunate and depending on the kindness of strangers, giving me a meal on the way home. So
I mean, I'll be honest with you, the only thing that I'm appalled at, and it sickens me to my stomach, Dame Baptiste, is that you haven't gone on this fictional date with a homeless person. So, you know, that would have been nicer.
That's true, but all to play for. But, you know, also, I don't always presume, like, I know that I can also be very emotionally needy, and that's the last thing a homeless person needs as well, is someone constantly vying for validation from them when they've got their own stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. But you found a great loophole, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very impressed. I've already said that I look up to you, and now, you know, I'm a bit giddy. Here's another question, though, Dame Baptiste. Be honest. Are you ever tempted to run a kiosk?
Oh, yes. Always.
Me too.
Always.
Me too. Yeah.
Just for a
the
day.
Life, the life... I don't know. I think once I got in there, I think a kiosk is my natural world. It's very small. No one else can get in. And... You know, I think the world just walks by you. They might want something occasionally, but it's a very brief interaction. There's a kiosk near me, and I genuinely think, I'm not saying I'm in love with a man who works there, but I do, considering I've never had a proper conversation with, I do love him. Like, if I found out anything bad had happened to him, I'd be so upset, because I see him nearly every day. And he sits there and he's reading classic novels. And he's, you know, he doesn't have to do anything other than sit in his kiosk, bettering himself.
Yeah.
You know, learn. And I'm like, what? I have so much freedom in my life. Am I picking up a book and learning anything? No, I'm fucking not. I'm pissing my life away. Actually, at my age, I'm shitting my life away. It's a disaster over here, Dane. But either way, I really admire and dream of the idea of working in a kiosk.
I think it's great. I totally understand where you're coming from. Like, there's the constant opportunity to better yourself, and then having that happen against the backdrop of just human civilization and being able to people watch as your consciousness elevates. I just think it's a great place to be.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that you agree with this. Can I tell you a kiosk story that's very special to me? It's got a
please do. Place don't leave out any details, particularly what kind of chocolate selection is right there at the front of the kiosk.
It's I'll tell you this now. It's quite a big kiosk, and it's outside Lewisham train station. It's quite a big kiosk.
Oh, I know. So it's got
a selection. It's got a strong selection.
That's a good kiosk.
But there's a guy that worked there for a while. I have double checked. He now no longer works there, which I'm very upset about. But I went there several times, you know, not a one go, over a period of time. And I would just go up and go, hello, Diet Coke, please. And he would give me a bottle of Diet Coke. I'd pay for it, go. That was it. And then one day I was walking a friend's dog, okay? And I'm walking this friend's dog, as I often do. I walk dogs, mm-hmm. not for money, because I find dogs charming. That's just what I do.
Makes
so
sense.
So I look after some. Yeah, I look after some people.
Or is it that dogs walk you, it sounds like?
Who knows? I have trouble doing it on my own, that's for sure.
There you go.
So one day, I'm with this dog, and I go up to the kiosk. And thing is, I thought to myself, do you know, I fancy a Diet Coke, but I'm going to get two because I might want one a bit later on, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. So I go up to the kiosk, and I went, two Diet Cokes, please. And he just stares weirdly at the dog. And he goes, two. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And it took me a second to figure out what I think he was trying to figure out. He's seen me before, several times, going up to the kiosk, going kind of a Diet Coke. But now I'm with someone. That someone is a dog. I've gone for two Diet Cokes. And surely there must have been something in his brain where he went, is he buying a Diet Coke for a dog? Anyway, I didn't think anything more of it. Put the Diet Coke in my backpack and drank the other Diet Coke. There we go. Then I'd say a week later, I'm walking two dogs. I'm going towards the kiosk, and I don't know, the little comedy pixie in my brain went, why don't I ask for three Diet Cokes just to see what will happen? And I'm not kidding you. I went to the kiosk, I went, three Diet Cokes, please. And he looks over the kiosk and sees two dogs. And he went, three? And I'm like, yeah. And he gave me three Diet Cokes, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I just thought, ha ha, this is kind of funny. And put the other two Diet Cokes in my backpack, drank the other Diet Coke. I'd say 2 weeks later, I'm walking four dogs, right? I do this a lot. This isn't so weird. I do this a lot. And I thought, I'm actually dragging these dogs to the kiosk to see if I can get, you know, get four Diet Cokes and see if he's... I just need a little squint from him. That's all I need, right? But I get to the kiosk and he just looks over and goes, four Diet Cokes. And I go, oh, no, three Diet Cokes and a full Fat Coke. Just thinking, well, you know, if he really does genuinely believe that I'm buying Diet Cokes for dogs, I want him to think at least one has a personality of their own. That, you know, they don't really like the Diet Coke stuff. Yeah. Anyway, it's a very simple story. It's very dear to my heart. And to this day, I still don't know if he believes I was buying Diet Cokes for a dog or he's going off and telling people, this guy wants me to think he's buying Diet Cokes for his dogs.
Or there's the alternate explanation where he's like, this poor guy, like, he obviously has a real serious sugar deficiency or has adult onset diabetes. And the only thing that keeps him happy are these therapy dogs.
Yeah.
And they just keep showing up. The guy, he has no family. He's got a serious, serious case of hyperglycemia. He's got really low blood sugar. Yeah. And the only thing
I think he goes around
going,
stealing dogs because the numbers go up and up.
That's it. And that's all he's got that keep him going is just hanging out with these dogs.
Yeah. Good point. I'm going to put down... I don't mean you're pitiful. I mean you're full of pity.
Yeah.
Because I think you were very kind to me there. I'm going to put full of pity. Thanks for that, mate. Yeah, you're right. It's made me feel a bit better. Okay. This is the final question of the Golden Eight. So after this, there's one more, okay? But this is the final question of the Golden Eight. Dane, when you die, what do you want people to say about you behind your back?
That's a really good question. I like this one. I would like people to say, this guy was really intense when it came to the things he cared about. But he gave you the shirt off your back. In fact, this is his shirt. I didn't give it back.
So you want, like, is that why you would want an open casket funeral? Because, you know, so we can see you bare-chested?
I thought about it, but then I thought I'd go for organ donation. And then people would be like he gave away his kidneys and lungs and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's give him
some shirts.
Yeah, yeah. I'd give him the shirt back, but what are we putting it on? Because he gave everything away. So,
oh, that's true. So it's just a head. Well, I mean, you know, that's quite a small coffin then. So that's a money saver.
There you go. And I want someone to be like, not only did he give me his last meal on the way home from a date, but I took this part of a coffin he said he didn't need, and now I've got my own bed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's ideally what I'm going for.
It's... I really want people to bitch about me when I'm dead. I mean, I think they will anyway.
Yeah, they will anyway.
I think it sounds more celebratory.
Yeah.
Do you know? Makes you feel like you've done something with your life.
That's true. I feel like no one's universally loved or hated, and it means that you've been printed in one way or another. And it also depends on who's doing it, because I imagine when GB News like begin to try and rebuild from like a shed, a garden shed, with a phone camera, they're like, and on this day we remember when our right wing powerhouse was burnt to the ground because of the actions of insane Marxist cultural liberal Jean Baptiste, who was not okay. He wasn't okay. He must have been crazy, despite what the fake news implies.
Yeah, well, you know, being woke and being insane is the same thing. We know that.
Exactly.
No, exactly. Oh, Dane Baptiste, I can't believe we've got to the very last question. But we have, so we just have to come to terms with that. And the last question is this. Dane Baptiste, what is leg hole?
Leg hole? Mm-hmm. I'd tell you... but I'd have to kill you.
That's fine.
Yeah. And the first rule about leg hole is you can only discuss leg hole with other leg hole visitors.
I do think that. I think it has to be sort of a cross between, you know, a Mason's handshake and also, you know, when old VW Beetle drivers drive by one another and they go, there has to be some sort of solemn yet stupid noise, I think. Yeah, so it's what you're saying is it's quite a bleak club.
It can be a bleak club, but I feel like it's what you make of it, though.
So I'm gonna. So it's some sort of horrible clan. I'll put down clan member. Okay, there we go. So that's a weird one to end on. I've got to say, Dame Baptiste, you were doing so well. But you know, those were your words.
Hey, in deal or no deal, sometimes you've got to take the gamble if the banker asks you. So why not?
Yeah. Exactly. Dame Baptiste, you are nothing short of a fucking delight, my friend. I cannot wait to see you perform stand up again very soon. Are you? What are you up to?
I'm going to Dublin this weekend. I'm doing the Paddy Power Festival. So it'll be with Foil Arms and Hog and Jarlath Regan, to name a few.
Any
of the other people.
Have you been sick in Ireland before?
I haven't yet, actually, but all to play for.
Well, do you know what? As an Irish person, please feel free to use my country any way that you wish. Dame Baptiste, the psychological profile is now complete. We have found out a lot about you today, and here is who you are. Dame Baptiste, you are ill. You're appallingly naive. You're fucking stupid. You're too mature. You're a low-scoring cheat. You're childish. You're very kind as an arsonist. You're nice. You're annoying. You hate Harrison Ford. You're very ill. You're a fucking do-gooder. You're full of pity. And you're a shirtless clan member. Dame Baptiste, all those things are what makes you you. And that's why we love you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you to my beautiful guest, Dave Baptiste. Everyone applauds.
Oh, thank you.
A massive round of coughing.
Round of coughing, just being more ill. Somebody has to talk about Harrison Ford, and I'm glad that this was the podcast I did it on. So thank you.
If it kicks off between you and Harrison Ford, it's good. A bit of publicity. You know, he's not going to be around forever.
That's true.
You know, you'll be able to shake that off your back, no problem.
And I want want him to feel like he did something before it all ended. And so,
yeah. Oh, thank you, Dane. Once again, so mature, a lovely guy. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you back here in the leg hole in an amount of time. Thanks for listening. Bye bye.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.